Welcome to the league, boys.
Hey, this is Challen Rogers from the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to Outside the Box Podcast.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box Podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What's going on, everybody? We are back. It is episode number 86 of the Outside the Box Podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Kyle Bennett, OTB Herm, live from Underground Studios. Got a lot to dive into today. It is our Toronto Rock season preview. And you know what that means, Herm. We're going to be joined by the captain, the transition player of the year, in 2018-2019, the one and only Challen Rogers will join us later on in the show. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. You know, I mean, big day. If you haven't already, go check out our unboxing video because Signature already hooking us up. I mean, they sent us everything that we need, everything that we want, and they're going to be hooking you guys up soon before you know it. Beyond that, you know, we got a big weekend ahead, some big interviews lined up here for us, and just going to keep pushing forward here in the lacrosse community because we're really putting a little bit of a dent here, making a name for ourselves. A
little bit of news and notes. First off, shout out to the Commissioner Nick Sakevich, giving us the follow back on the Twitter machine. Means a lot to us. Was our first guest ever, so big ups there. And he's been pretty active on the Twitter machine recently, just quote tweeting a bunch of stuff going on. And one of those big things, Herm, was the NLL announced today, as we record this on our typical Thursday, that they have a new partnership with True Sports, and you were telling me that's a big deal. So
it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, being a hockey guy, I've been using True Sticks for a while, actually, over on the ice, but I mean, True also making a huge impact in the lacrosse community, making a pretty tough shaft from what I hear. I haven't had the chance to get my hands on one yet, but apparently they have a high-quality product. They're putting out great stuff, and I mean, this just opens up the field for guys who are sponsored by True. So, like, it's probably kind of awkward if just about every other company in lacrosse is sponsored, we're partnered at least, with the NLL. So, I mean, it gives guys who have the True sponsorship an opportunity to really rep their brand and have the ability to see their brand represented on, like, the boards of the different fields there are, different stadiums they're at. So, I mean, that's a big deal for both True as a growing entity and the National Lacrosse League, who it's just another notch in the belt, you know? I mean,
some good stuff in this press release, though. It says the NLL ranking third in average attendance for pro indoor sports. The league experienced substantial growth last season with nearly a million total ticket sales. Compared to the 2017-2018 season, the National Lacrosse League saw a 151% increase in total unit sales with the inclusion of Turner and BR Live, 28% increase in live viewers, 60% of which had never played in a house league, 27% increase in average unique viewers online, and a 14% increase in average minutes viewed online. Additionally, the NLL has projected a 29% increase in its sponsorship revenues from 2018 to 2019.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It just proves that the sport continues to grow. I think one of the coolest things is it is still one of the largest sports streaming platforms in the world. So for them to be able to have such a lucrative deal, combined with the NLL and BR Live to be able to bring you guys all these games is just a beautiful thing. I mean, the first 2 weeks of the season are free. I mean, you guys can get all
take advantage of that.
Yeah, take advantage of it. Watch all the box that you can, because the NLL is just so much fun to watch. I mean, if you haven't actually, I mean, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast probably if you've never seen a box lacrosse game. But I mean,
tell maybe you have, and this is going to be the first year that you're taking in the box game.
Yeah, I mean, granted, you've probably seen highlights though. Mm-hmm. Eh? I mean, but if not, I mean, tell a friend about it, man. Go actually see a game, because it'll actually change your life. I mean, here, a little story time here. Back when it was probably like 2005, 2006, I was up in Oshawa, Canada. I think I was at like a hockey camp or something, but I was also playing box lacrosse at the time with a lot of my buddies. And I remember going to my first, I think it was probably the Arena Lacrosse League or maybe Junior A. I can't remember who it was or what it was. I couldn't even tell you the names of the teams, but I just remember the energy at my first ever box game, and it was something else. I mean, it was electric. There were fights. There were fights in the crowd. I mean, those people were hammered. They were buckled that night. But, I mean, that is the kind of stuff that really brought people in to watch box lacrosse in Canada at the time. And, I mean, I loved it. I was hooked. And that really led for this kind of resurgence of box lacrosse in my own lacrosse experience. As the field game to me is fun. Yeah, I love watching it. But box is kind of where my heart lays. And I really have the opportunity to explore that now with all the opportunities that we've had open up with us through the NLL. And I absolutely couldn't be more thankful for it.
So let's dive into this here Toronto Rock squad. Biggest thing that they did this offseason was they made a great offense that much better. They added a seasoned veteran who found a lot of success out in San Diego last year, and he's heading to Toronto. That's Dan Dawson, who is joining a group of Rob Hellier, Adam Jones, Tom Schreiber, Johnny Paulus, and a bunch of other guys. This Toronto Rock forward group, we talked about Halifax last week. We talked about Rochester earlier this week. This Toronto group is stacked.
Oh, there's something else, man. I mean, I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. I mean, you probably want to start with Tommy Schreiber. Obviously, probably the best player in the world right now. The guy can do it all, not only on the floor, but I mean, he's like the nicest human being I've ever freaking met in my life. We gotta still go get ourselves a Dirty Sanchez sometime at the old Hoagie Haven. But I mean, from Tom Schreiber, I mean, you stem off and we had the three-headed monster, we dubbed it last year, of Adam Jones and Rob Hellier. Was it Hellier that we eat?
Hellier, Schreiber, and Adam Jones.
And Adam Jones were
And then we added the fourth with Johnny Paulus late in the season.
Right, and now that they bring in Dan Dawson, it's just freaking game changer. I mean, these are all names that we all know. Like, whether you, kind of getting back to my point, whether you watch box or not, you've probably heard all of these names before just because of all the freaking highlights that they put up every week and everything that they do for the sport to help get people interested. I mean, by putting up highlights and top 10 plays, you're getting people more interested in both watching the game but also getting into it. So I mean, obviously Adam Jones, a guy who works hand in hand with Tom Schreiber better than anybody in the league almost, because these two, I mean, when one's scoring, the other's assisting, and it's just vice versa all game long. You either shut down one or you don't shut them both down, because you have to double team someone, otherwise you're gonna get beat, because playing one on one is not an option against these two. They're too talented, too fast, and they have all the skills they need. And then, I mean, just bolstering it up with Dan Dawson. I mean, obviously we saw him do a lot in San Diego last season. We don't know what kind of effect he's gonna have on this Toronto team, but if we have any kind of common sense, I mean,
it's gonna be a positive one.
It's gonna be a positive impact, and he's gonna put up a ton of points.
Was part of that 2018 Saskatchewan team that won a championship, played a bunch of years in Rochester, played in Philly in 2012, and played for a bunch of defunct teams because he's been in the league since 2005. So he's going to bring that veteran savviness to this Toronto team. And Herm, when some of those guys are off the floor, we got a guy like Alex Simons who signed in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a guy in Aaron Forster who was drafted in the first round this year.
Right, and Forster is one of those guys who I was really excited when we saw his name go up on the board. But he's an absolute beaut. I mean, he's fast. He's talented. He's got great hands.
And 15th overall in the first round.
Right. But, I mean, for him to go in 15 is just a huge pickup for The Rock because, I mean, he's talented as all hell, man. I mean, the kid is young. He's fast. And he's ready to get after it. I mean, I think I remember. Did I get him on the vlog? I might have. I definitely spoke to him. So, I mean, he was one of those kids who was just ready to get out. He would have gone and played that night after the freaking draft if he could have. So, it's an absolute, I mean, just, it's going to be a ton of fun to watch these rookies this year.
Plus, second round, 27th overall, they brought in Zach Mans.
Yeah, and Zach Mans is a kid out from BC. I mean, obviously grew up in that BC box community, which is just known to raise absolute freaking gems. Number one in my mind is Baller out there. I mean, Keegan Ball, my boy. But, I mean, the BC scene is where one of the hotbeds to come up through, and obviously he's going to be able to take a lot of the skills that he's grown over the years and just bring them right into this Toronto Rock roster. I mean, granted, he's not seasoned yet. He's going to take a little bit of a transition period here, but give him a few games in the NLL and let him grow, and, I mean, he'll be up there with Tommy Schreiber, Hellier, Adams, Dawson, all the big boys, and getting after it.
And then you look at this defensive group, because we know Toronto is a team that is notorious to kick games off by starting a starting five just of defensemen. They don't put forwards out on the floor to start games for whatever reason, but it tends to work for them. They put five D guys out there and Nick Rose, and you find a lot of success on that opening faceoff. And this defensive group includes our guest later on the show, Challen Rogers, plays the transition game as well. Includes a guy like Alec Tullett, Brad Cree, you know, Brad Lyons. You've got David Brock Sorensen. The list goes on and on with this defensive group. And even though they're a younger group, they play like a bunch of seasoned veterans. And it proved last year, this Toronto Rock team at home was almost unstoppable. They went 8-1, which was the best home record in the entire league, not just the East Division, the entire league. That was the best home record.
Yeah, I mean, two things from that. One, I said it probably like 6 or 7 episodes ago now, but Alec Tullett, bolstering up that defense, just signed a big ticket for 2 seasons. I mean, and you know what else he threw on that big ticket? His signature. Speaking of which, let me talk to you guys about Signature Lacrosse for a second. We have partnered up with them. We are bringing you exclusive deals on our Signature Lacrosse page. That is signaturelacrosse.com/pages/OTB. We are bringing you everything exclusive, from balls to mesh to heads to complete sticks to apparel, iPhone cases, posters, shirts, anything that you guys can think of. We've got it on our Signature Lacrosse page. These guys are absolutely hooking up the lacrosse community right now with the best apparel and merch and lacrosse equipment you can think of. I mean, they are the number one ball of college lacrosse. They are the official ball of the NLL, and they have got so many great events coming up that they're sponsoring, and I mean, they're doing so much for the lacrosse community each and every day. So I am absolutely stoked to be repping their brand each and every day through this podcast, through my vlogs, and everything else that we do in the community. So make sure that you go check out our signature storefront. That is signaturelacrosse.com/pages/OTB to get your lacrosse merchandise, apparel, and anything else that you could think of Signature Lacrosse. And you know what? It's flamingo season, man. 2 seasons of the NLL. A lot of people, I mean, here 2 years, and you compare it to a
it's like a 4-year traditional contract.
Right. That's like 4, 5, maybe even 6 years in like the NHL. That's some guy signing for like a $12 million AAV. I mean, this kid's getting paid. He's getting the job done, and it shows a lot of trust that the Toronto Rock have in him and just the talent that he brings to the floor. So, I mean, I love to see that. He's an absolute hoot. He's a beaut. Can't wait to get after it with him when I'm up in Toronto. But, I mean, 8-1 at home, that's a record. You can't argue it. I mean, the Toronto Rock have a home field advantage unlike any other. They're a team that you really don't want to see on the other side of the floor when you're warming up, because they make it look easy. They make this box game look like something that they were all born to do. They have a cleanliness to them that just is second to none to any other team in the NLL. And it's just a ton of fun to watch, if I'm being totally honest. There's a couple times they'll come into Philly a season. Actually, with the realignment, they're not going to be
coming. We're
going to
play them once.
We only play them once, which is going to be weird because, I mean, so much of my childhood just felt like we the Wings against the Rock every freaking time.
It was a big-time rivalry.
It was a rivalry, but it was like every freaking time I went to a Wings game, they were playing the Rock. So,
but the fun thing is the Rock come to Philadelphia.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's always tough to see them come into your city and play your team, but obviously I think that the Wings have a roster to compete with them pretty well this season. Obviously, we competed well with them last season. We even took them into the overtime game up in Toronto in their barn, but obviously they were able to finish that one out. I mean, it's tough to beat that team at home, and it's a home field advantage unlike any other, like I said. I mean, Toronto is a hotbed for freaking box lacrosse, and their fan base is unlike any other. They're true fans. They get after it, and I think well, I'm not going to spoil the interview, but I think that having a little championship fever in the town of city of Toronto could lead to a bit of a run here for the boys.
Now, this Toronto team, they made the playoffs last year. They were a 3 seed in the East. They met up with Buffalo in the divisional final, lost 12-8. This team's going to be hungry going into this season because, obviously, last year, Buffalo was a rival. They're going to be an even bigger rival now that they are in the same division again. They're probably going to want a little bit of, you know, to avenge that loss because I think on paper, you could argue that Toronto team had what it, you know, took to take down that Buffalo squad last year as the one team. But I think Toronto is going to have a little fuel in their fire knowing that they're going to have to face Buffalo 3 times a year. And with the playoff format the way it is, they're going to want to finish with one of those top two records.
Certainly. And, I mean, I'm not going to I should preface this by saying no team looks to lose in a season. No team looks to do anything less than win the championship. However, the Toronto Rock, a team like the freaking New England Patriots, the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, the Boston Bruins, obviously I'm a freaking Boston fan, these are storied franchises that expect a championship each and every year. It doesn't matter who you put in front of them. It doesn't matter where you go in the season previous. It doesn't matter what the hell happened in the offseason, who you picked up, who you dropped. These are teams that are expected to win every year. They're expected to make a playoff push. They're expected to make it a couple rounds deep at least in the playoffs, if not push for that championship. And, I mean, I would expect absolutely nothing less from this Rock team that we're bringing into this season. They have plenty of talent. Talent is something that they do not lack at all. Last year, they lacked a bit of consistency on the road. I mean,
yeah, they finished 4-5 on the road as opposed to that 8-1 home record.
Right. On the road is where they really struggled. I think it was a lack of communication often. And I think that they let a lot of games go deep, as we just said. The Wings were able to push them into that overtime game when we had them there in Toronto. They did that on the road, too, but instead of being able to win those overtime games at home, they were flipping them the other way on the road. And, I mean, you can't win championships that way. You got to be able to finish your games. Got to be able to finish out the fourth quarter. You and I were sitting there at dinner tonight just talking about lacrosse in general, and we were talking about the Chrome, and one of our biggest pet peeves about the team all summer long was just not being able to finish, man. I mean, you could have the biggest lead, and if you blow it, just it looks awful. Your record will never project the amount of talent that you're showing on the floor. So that's going to be my biggest little key for the Toronto Rock here going into the season, is just finish out these games and make sure that you're putting points up on the board all four quarters.
Here's a fun stat for you, Herm. So last year, like we said, Toronto went 8-1 at home, 4-5 on the road. They put up 213 goals last year. Nothing to sneeze at right there. They
not at all.
Tied with their former division rivals, the New England Black Wolves, for 213 goals last year. But they allowed 207. So it kind of shows that this defense was young, but they have another year under their belts, and I think they're going to take a step forward this year and really help a guy who is a top three goalie in this league, and Nick Rose. Like we say every single time we talk about goalies, they are gold in the NLL, and Nick Rose is literal gold. He is a baller.
He's made of gold?
In the net. Yes.
You think they just dip him in, like,
gold dip Rose.
Gold plating before every game? Like, he doesn't even wear pads anymore. He just needs the gold plating.
I'm down with it.
That would probably be brilliant, eh?
But to have, you know, an overall 12-6 record and only have a +6 goal differential,
astonishing.
It's it's hard to believe.
But it also just falls right back on my point. You can't let these games get deep. I mean, you can't let don't let teams, when you are one of the top five teams in the league, you can't be letting teams play you the entire game. You got to be able to put them down in the third quarter and just relax in the fourth while maintaining a good goal differential and making sure that you're winning the game handily. And especially for guys like Nick Rose, I mean, we often talk about people getting overworked and being put under too much pressure. That fourth quarter for Nick Rose, if you're cruising and playing well, the ball's moving well on offense, you're tucking a few in, and you're just taking your time, it's so much less stress on a guy in between the pipes as long if he's not facing that constant just force of the other offense. I mean, no guys who are in between the pipes want to face four quarters of high intense lacrosse, because as fun as it can be, you're also freaking exhausted by the time the game ends, and you're just going to let up bad goals at that point.
Nick Rose played over 1,100 minutes last year between the regular season and the playoffs.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's just absurd. I don't even think Christian DelBianco played that many minutes.
So think about it that way. Nick Rose is just an absolute animal in the net for Toronto in the regular season.
He's a beaut.
1,028 minutes.
Who?
Nick Rose. 1,028 minutes in the regular season. An 11.73 goals against average.
Unreal. That's actually just astonishing.
And when you think about the goals that they allowed, too, like to only really average just under 12 a game is solid as all hell.
When you go back to the offense, I mean, you have freaking the three-headed monster putting up 15 goals a game by themselves. I mean, frick. How many goals does Tom Schreiber put up every game? Five? He doesn't finish many games without less than a hat trick. I mean, the guy has so much damn talent. As long as he can stay healthy all season long, he'll be able to score basically enough goals to win every game by himself.
Now, here was one of the big things, too, in terms of points, because last year as well, the goals for that Toronto scored per games played 11.83. Their goals against per games played 11.5. So very close there. And
you know what that is? There was the one game. Who was it? It was the Rock and maybe Sask. It was like a 5-8 game, and I think it just threw off the goals for number there, because I feel like that's really low. 11.83 for a team with that much offense, and they put up a ton of goals.
They put up a ton of goals, but listen to this points total here for this team in terms of their high-end scores. Tom Schreiber last year led the way for them with 94 points, 29 goals, 65 assists. Then Rob Hellier with 86 points. He had 36 goals, 50 assists. And then in 12 games, Adam Jones, 56 points. And then it kind of dropped off into the 40s with Dan Craig, Johnny Paulus, Kieran McArdle, who is now with New York, Dan Littner, who's now with Rochester, I believe. And then Jalen Rogers clocked in right there. So your highest scoring defenseman with 31 points being Jalen. And then after that, it drops all the way down to 14.
Right, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, 31 points for defenseman is impressive.
It's beautiful.
However, at the same time, you can see you're just front-weighted. And this is kind of the same issue that we talk about with Calgary. I mean, they've got three guys up top who can really lead the charge. They're going to head this stampede, and they're going to let it rage a bit. I mean, they're going to be able to put up points, and they're going to make shit happen. But, I mean, if you get to the point where you're maybe one of them gets hurt and you can't bring in that extra man off the bench to really fill a spot in the top of the top two lines. I mean, we talk in the NHL about top six wingers and offensemen. And so, I mean, we are constantly searching for that in the same kind of style in the NLL. As soon as your top five guys, let's say, drop off, I mean, that's where you see the biggest difference in a team that can push for a championship and a team that loses a few games by one goal and just finally drops off towards the end of the season. So I think obviously bringing in Dan Dawson, they're able to add a big name to the help just fill that little gap where it drops off between like 30 points of one goal scorer to the next. And we'll see something big there, because I think Dan Dawson is going to have a lot of great ideas for this offense and help it just flow a little bit better. I mean, obviously these are all seasoned veterans. They all know what they're doing, but you can never have too many of these great locker room guys, these glue guys just bolstering up your offense.
And I think no better way to continue this Toronto Rock season preview can be had other than talking to our boy, the captain, Chalon Rogers. So we're going to be joined by the man who rocks the sea right now. All right, so we are back up north previewing this National Lacrosse League season, and what better way to run through the six than with the one and only Chalon Rogers to help us break down this Toronto Rock team that is loaded with talent heading into 2019-2020. Chalon, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's dive into this. You know, the biggest free agent acquisition you guys had was you bring Dan Dawson in from San Diego to add to an already absurd forward group. What's kind of been the excitement level around adding a veteran like Dan Dawson to this team?
You know, it's been a great addition for us. You know, not only is Dan, you know, one of those offensively gifted players in the NLL, you know, he brings a lot more than just his skill. He's a veteran leader, and you know, he's won, right? And you know, for a young group like us, we only have, I think, Robbie and Dan that have won championships just off the top of my head. So he's going to bring a lot of leadership, and he already has. And you know, it goes further than just his talent on the floor.
What's it like playing with a guy like Tom Schreiber? We got to kind of travel with him this summer, covering him in his Premier Lacrosse League season. But what's it like playing with Tom? What's he like in the locker room, and just being, you know, Captain America up in Canada?
Yeah, no, I love Tom. Tom's not only an absolute stud on the floor, he's a stud off the floor as well. And, you know, he might be one of the most low-key funny guys on the team. But, yeah, playing with Tom, he's just an animal. The things he can do and the skill set he has, it's one that, you know, he has guys trying his type of shots and, you know, learning from him, even though he's, you know, getting more experience playing the box game with every year. But, you know, there's still a lot to learn from him and what he's capable of.
And we say it all the time on this show, having a goalie in the NLL is like striking gold. And you guys have one of the best, you know, running right now in Nick Rose. To be able to play in front of a guy like that who's, you know, regarded as one of the top goalies in the league, for you as a defender, what's it like playing with him as your goalie?
It's awesome. You know, obviously defensively, breakdowns are going to happen, and you want a guy in net that's going to save your butt when things don't really go your way. And, you know, he makes saves that he should, and he makes saves that he shouldn't. I think he has probably a highlight reel save, you know, almost every game. So, you know, having a guy like that back there and, you know, being a leader back there really helps our defense.
And, you know, looking at this defensive group that is absolutely loaded with talent, you know, yourself, Brad Cree, a guy like Alec Tullett, you know, Brad Lyons, David Brock, you know, the list goes on. What, you know, excites you about this group heading into this season as a unit to go out there, help Rosie out and make sure that you guys are stopping as many shots from opposing teams as possible?
Yeah, I think Bruce has done a great job with us, our defensive coach. You know, he lets us play, but he puts in a system where, you know, it's going to make us effective. And we're a team out the back door that want to play fast and push transition, and I don't think that's been a secret to anyone for the past few seasons. And I think this year we're going to see us at a different pace, and you know, speed's hard to defend, and you know, I think that's our mindset defensively, kind of pushing the ball up the floor, helping our offense and giving them time to work up front.
Now last year you were the leading scorer defender wise for this team. For you to be able to have that kind of versatility where you score goals and you play defense, what kind of goes into the way you've modeled your game since you've come into the league to kind of be that Swiss Army knife defender for this team?
Yeah, I think my first year being a rookie, I didn't really want to make a whole lot of defensive mistakes, so I took a lot of pride in my defense and just wanting to be, you know, the most the biggest, I guess, attribute for myself that rookie year, to play good, strong, hard defense. But, you know, I think after my rookie year, talking with the coaches and talking with Jamie, a little bit more, and, you know, just kind of build confidence in my shot. And, you know, I think that's something that I've learned throughout the past few years, just playing in Oakville and you know, obviously in our Rock seasons, just trying to you know, take pride in my shot and build confidence where, you know, just to shoot the ball and you know, hope and expect it to go in.
Now, this Toronto team, you guys got to the divisional final last year and ended up losing to Buffalo. You know, has that kind of fueled your guys' fire as you've gotten training camp underway these past couple weeks to, you know where you guys left off, know it wasn't where you wanted to end off? Is that going to fuel this team in 2019-2020 to get to that NLL final?
Absolutely. I think that's the goal every year is to win a championship. And, you know, that's not only for our team, it's for the entire league we play to win championships, right? And Buffalo, yeah, last year they were a really good team and we were a really good team and, you know, they got the better of us. And, you know, that we weren't happy with the result that we got. And, you know, that's absolutely going to add fuel to the fire for us this year.
And last year you were named the Transition Player of the Year. When you found out you won the award, what was kind of going through your head? What was your reaction to knowing that you won that award?
It was a great honor. I mean, if you look around the league and even on our team, there's a lot of transition guys that are deserving of that award. And, you know, it was great to kind of, you know, to win that and, you know, thank the people that, you know, helped me get to that point. But, you know, that's not the main goal, to win the individual awards. It's obviously to bring championship back to the Six in Toronto, and it's such a storied franchise, and we just want to be part of that.
And, you know, you talk about bringing the trophy home to the Six, you know, watching the Toronto Raptors win the NBA Finals last year. Was that even more motivation for you guys, knowing that a team from Toronto was able to, you know, do the thing, bring it all the way home? Did that help you guys kind of, like, realize that, like, this thing is possible, we can do this, we want to be the next ones hoisting a trophy in this city?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the parade, and you know, I went to some of those playoff games, and they're a team that, you know, obviously they had a lot of talent, but you put them up against some of those other NBA teams, you know, just with names on paper, and they grinded, right? And they just found ways to win. And I think that's something that we kind of learned last year. We found ways to win those tight one-goal games. But, you know, I think this year our goal is to finish games when we have the opportunity to, you know, up by a few goals. If we can just kind of run away with it and give us, you know, some more leeway, I guess, you know, that's kind of our goal. And, you know, I think that could be the difference, you know, trying to host that championship.
Now, you guys finished 12-6 last year, but you went 8-1 at home, which was the best home record in the entire league, either East Division or West. What's it like playing on your home floor in front of those fans? What's that home field advantage like for you guys?
It's amazing. You know, those guys, the true Toronto Rock fans that have been here through the years, you know, probably from the beginning. The Roadies, I'll give them a shout-out because they're always the loudest. They're always getting on the opposing team's goalies. And, you know, all our fans, we do a lot of things here in Oakville with youth development, and to see those kids kind of at the game and see kind of the things that we're preaching in a game situation, to see them kind of in the crowd and enjoying it and, you know, trying to give them a great experience, not only the kids, but everyone that attends. And through the past few years, I don't think we've had the home record that we've wanted. And, you know, last year was a great step for us in the right direction, giving the hometown what they want and what they pay for, and we want them to support us, and we want us to support them with winning.
Now, I do have to ask you, we've asked every single guest we've had so far this season, your thoughts on you know, the divisional realignment. There's three divisions now. You guys are repping the North Division along with Buffalo, the new rendition of the Nighthawks, and you've got Halifax in there now. What are your thoughts on, you know, the divisional realignment, expansion of the league, and just growing the game in you know, in general?
Yeah, you know, I think it's everyone's goal to grow this game. And, you know, with the realignment in Halifax, kind of getting the team out east there, I think they're gonna have, you know, great numbers. They could end up kind of being like a Sask team, you know, with their support. But, yeah, with the divisional realignment, it's it makes things a little bit different, right? It's just different. You know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the playoff situation ends up with you know, all three divisions. And it's going to be a challenge, I think. I think our division has, you know, a Halifax team that, you know, got hot kind of later on than they probably wanted to. And they're a great team kind of going into the end of the season. And, you know, Buffalo, we always have our battles with them. And Rochester, just playing them last week and tying them, you know, they've got a great offense and a great team to build on. So it'll be interesting to see how everything kind of plays out.
How important and, you know, just relieving has it been for you guys to have a full training camp this off season and going into the preseason, knowing that last year, obviously, you guys had to figure out the CBA with the Players Association and everything, but now that that's all settled, to have a full training camp going into this season, how big is that for you guys?
It's massive. I think, you know, having the opportunity to kind of build chemistry with one another and you know, that preparation that you kind of need going into a season, it's great, not only for us, but I think the entire league, and the product that's going to be on the floor. With that preparation, you know, teams are going to be at their best. So it's definitely back to normal, and hopefully it kind of stays that way.
What's training camp been like for you guys this year? You know, under Coach Matt Sawyer, he does a hell of a job, you know, coaching you guys. What's his training camp vibe kind of like, and how's he been getting you guys prepared for this season?
Yeah, we do a lot of, you know, up and down the floor type drills, kind of fitting our style where, you know, we want to push the ball like I was saying before. And, you know, Maddie, Blaine, and Brucey, they all do a great job in getting us prepared and putting us in the right areas for this team to succeed.
What was it like last year for you to, you know, wear the C and be the captain of this team? I know that's got to be pretty special to you. You know, being the captain of this Toronto Rock team with such a storied history and as a franchise in this league, what's it like having the C on your jersey?
I mean, last year getting the honor of wearing the C for this franchise, and you know, it is a great honor, and there's a lot of guys in that room that you know, are definitely capable of wearing the C for this team. But you know, I try to kind of take it with stride, and every game, every practice, I kind of learned differently how to prepare and you know, how to be the best leader I could be. And I think that's kind of the same thing this year. I'm still learning. I think if you're not learning, then you're not doing it right. And you know, there's a lot of guys on this team that I've learned from and continue to learn from. And you know, just to kind of lead this team in a battle is a great honor, and I love it.
Now, I know you have a nice little friendship with Kyle Jackson. He's a friend of the show. What's it going to be like having to go to battle against him three times a season now that you guys are still in the same division?
Yeah, it's going to be fun to go against him. You know, I'm his roommate down in Boston and for the MLL and the field league there. And, you know, he's a great guy. I went to his wedding a few months ago, and you know, we've become very close. And you know, playing against them, I think whenever you play your friends and you want to get the better of them, and him being a lefty and me being a righty D transition guy, we're gonna match up a lot. And I know his style of play, he's quick and he's agile and has a great shot. So he's a guy that I love competing against. I think he's really one of the best lefties in the league who's so versatile and the way he can move and move the ball and shoot. And it's going to be a great challenge, and you know, it's going to be a fun time.
I think you said it best too. Being able to play against guys that you're close with or you're friends with, it raises that level of competition that you bring to the floor on game day, because you want to be able to get the, you know, the bragging rights and be able to kind of, you know, strut your stuff as soon as you come out with a win potentially against them. Am I wrong there, knowing that you get to play against some of these guys that you've been able to grow close with? That definitely raises the level of competition.
Absolutely. You know, lacrosse is such kind of a small community, and you play against a lot of guys you grew up playing with since you're a kid, right? And, you know, it does raise the level of competition. You know, like you said, you want to get the better of them and hopefully pull out that win. And even just the one-on-one battles, you always want to win. Just, you know, maybe that random time in summer, you bring it up and you let them hear about it. It does raise the level of competition you know, it makes it a lot more fun.
Is there a guy on this Toronto roster that's kind of the resident chirper that kind of gets the other team, gets underneath the other team's skin and, you know, frustrates them a little bit?
You know, I think Creasy does a good job at that. I think Billy Hostrauser does a really good job at that. Billy's hilarious. You know, he was my roommate my rookie year, and the stuff he kind of says on the floor and backs it up, and he's the man. It's a fun team, but at the same time, there's a few other guys there on the roster that could let people hear it for sure.
Is there a road city that you kind of like enjoy going to? Is it like kind of circled there because you enjoy playing in that town?
Well, I mean, Vancouver is one of those teams that I love playing in, just because that's where I grew up, and I remember being GM place when the Ravens used to play there. I think I had season tickets. So just kind of being able to play in front of friends and family who don't get to see me play as much, you know, I think that's going to be one of the better places to play.
Is that an exciting thing for you, too, being able to play in front of your friends and family? Does that motivate you a little extra when you get the opportunity to do that?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of those people that come to those games have had a huge part in my success and, you know, putting me in places that I need to be successful and, you know, to reward them in a way of just kind of showing them, you know, that I'm playing in the NLL and that was their goal for me. And, you know, I want them to know how much I appreciate that and, you know, being out there on the floor and giving them the opportunity to see how I play and see how this team plays. And, you know, it truly is a great experience.
What can Toronto Rock fans expect from Challen Rogers this season to follow up, you know, a decorated 2019 season for you last year? What can they expect from you, and what can they expect from this team as you guys look to, you know, move forward from a divisional final loss and potentially get to the NLL finals this year and hoist that trophy?
You know, I think they should expect a championship. I mean, every team says that, and, you know, that's what we expect. But, you know, talk's cheap, right? You have to go out there, you have to work, and you have to be successful on the floor. And, you know, I think that's what we want to do. We want to be a fast team that runs teams into the ground and, you know, a fast offense that moves the ball and moves the feet and gets good looks. So, you know, they should just expect a team that's going to go to battle every single night. And, you know, if we do that, then we should be successful.
This team's absolutely loaded. I'm looking forward to watching them. And you guys are looking poised for another successful season going into 2019-2020. Challen Rogers, you're the absolute man. We'll have to have you back on the show during the season. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck and the Toronto Rock a successful season moving forward. And we'll definitely have to do this again soon, man.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Shout out to the new homie, Challen Rogers, the official captain of the podcast now. He wears the C, he does the thing, and he got me pumped about this Toronto Rock defense, because they're going to, you know, like we said earlier, going to take that step forward, And I think under his leadership, under some of these other guys' leadership skills that they have, they're going to take a nice step forward and be a real force helping Nick Rose out on the back end.
You know what, man? I mean, it, with every one of these previews that we do and we get these interviews, it just makes me feel so biased towards every freaking team in the
league.
They're
trying to sway us.
They're all trying to sway us, but they're all just great dudes. I mean, freaking thanks for coming on, Chalen. I mean, I was disappointed I couldn't be there for the interview, obviously. But, I mean,
Chalen, arguably, he's a top five name.
Oh, completely.
In the league?
First of all, it's one you don't get every day. I mean, you don't have someone, I mean, no offense to our recent guest, Sean Evans, but that might be like the most generic name of all time. I mean,
it's not Jim Smith.
Jim Smith or like Kyle Bennett. Never heard.
Fair enough.
You know, that's a pretty generic name. But no, I mean, he got me stoked for this Toronto season. I think that they're, obviously, we always talk to them. We talk about them with probably the utmost respect. I mean, this is one team
that the offense is always talked about, but I think the defense and transition game gets overlooked because of how good the offense is.
Yeah, I mean, when you have guys like Tom Schreiber, I mean, we're going to keep saying it.
Dan Dawson now.
It's hard not to just harp upon these extremes. It's kind of like if you had, I don't know, like Super Mario Kart, the OG one, and you're comparing it to, like, Miss Pac-Man and regular Pac-Man. Like, nobody talks about, okay, that was a horrible analogy, guys. Just fact of the matter is people talk about Tom Schreiber. So, I mean, yes, this is obviously an underlying factor in what's how the Toronto Rock season's going to go. But if they're able to really bolster up this defense, like I think that they will, especially closing out those tight games. I mean, this is a team who's going to make another championship run, and I think that Chalen is probably the best guy to be leading this team right now. I mean, he's obviously got a ton of confidence. He has got the great communication skills. He knows what he's working with, and he's got the tools to really kind of mold this defense together and make them a one collective unit that is a team that I wouldn't want to go up against, to be honest with you.
So let's get into this schedule. Toronto kicks things off December 7th at 7 p.m. at home against the New England Black Wolves. And then they follow that up with two more December games, one on the 14th and one on the 28th against the Seals and Nighthawks. I have Toronto going 3-0 in the month of December.
I'm going to go with 2-1 because I just don't think any team goes 3-0 on the road. You know, I mean, that's tough. Oh, wait, no, they have one home game. Okay, so still 2-1. I mean, home game, I think that they take down the Black Wolves. Any game at home for the Toronto Rock, as we said last year, clear advantage. I mean, they don't lose at home. It's just not an option. Scotiabank is a freaking just win zone for them, I guess. However, I think that game in San Diego is going to be tough. I think that San Diego is going to be coming off pretty high energy.
Time change game?
I don't even think it's necessarily a time change game. I'm not too concerned about that. I think that just flying out there for the one won't be too bad. But I just think that San Diego brings a lot at home, and they have arguably one of the best Western offenses, in my opinion, and they put up a ton of points. So I think if they drop one, that's going to be the one they drop. So I'll say 2-1 in that month.
Then they kick things off in January. They got a bye to start the month, but then they've got Rochester at home. They've got a road game in Bandit Land against the Bandits. Then another bye week, and then they host Halifax. I think they go 1-2.
1-2. Okay, so I have them going 2-1 again. I mean, just dropping that game at Banditland. I mean, it's a revenge game for both of them. Obviously, Toronto wants to get their revenge, but I mean, going to Banditland for any team, even if you're the Toronto Rock, is just, it's a tough task. It's a tall cup of water, as they say.
I have them winning the game against Rochester.
Is it a drink of water or a cup of water? Tall drink of water. I think that's what it is. It's a tall drink of water.
I have them beating Rochester, dropping to Buffalo, and then I have a nice little Halifax upset to end the month of January. But then we head into February. We've got Toronto at home against Buffalo. We've got them hosting the Vancouver Warriors, and then they go on the road to Halifax. And then on Leap Year Day, fun little matchup here, Toronto at Saskatchewan. I have them going 500, going 2-2 this month. I think they will unfortunately lose to Buffalo here. They will beat Vancouver. They'll beat Halifax, and then they'll lose to Saskatchewan.
See, I have them doing 2-2 as well, going 2-2, but the complete opposite. I actually see the Warriors picking up a huge win in Toronto. I think if they're going to lose a game in Toronto, this is the one. And then I have the Thunderbirds kind of making a little bit of an upset here. So, I mean, interesting takes, but I can get with it.
Month of March is going to be a fun one. Calgary goes to Toronto, then Buffalo goes to Toronto, and then they get a nice little bye week before Colorado comes to Toronto. So a nice little homestand here. And I think they go 3-0 in the month of March.
No, I think they go 2-1 again. They're just going to go 2-1 the whole season, I guess, for every month. But no, they lose to my Knicks. Nobody beats them this season.
I think the home field
undefeated.
I think the home field advantage is a true thing. It's a big thing for them. And for them to be at home for an entire month is going to be huge, and it's going to pay off with a 3-0 month.
Definitely
before the brutal part of their schedule, as we just looked before we started recording, Herm, the month of April is going to be the true kind of grinded out rest of the season test for Toronto, as they have a back-to-back April 4th and 5th in Philadelphia and then go to New York. Then April 11th, not even a full week later, go to Georgia, so three straight road games before they come home on April 17th to take on the Rochester Nighthawks for the final time, and then they'll go on the road again, so four road games in the month of April. April 25th, their final regular season game at Halifax.
This has two implications. One, I mean, obviously, a ton of travel. Takes a lot out on the body. It's tough. You don't like to travel. It's a good thing they only play on the weekends. That being said, though, takes a lot out on the body. You hope these guys can stay healthy. This is the end of the season. They're going to be heading into playoffs. You don't want to see one of these back-to-backs have some kind of injury happen that gets more aggravated because of the travel schedule and the ridiculous amount of games you're playing here at the end of the season. I mean, bodies start wearing down. Bodies start taking a beating. And, I mean, if you're playing your 16th game of the season at the, fourth game of your month on the road, I mean, it's tough. It's not easy at all. However, that being said, I mean, I think that they are able to go 3-2 here. It's going to be a tough stand, but I think that they're able to make a nice little push here. I think they lose to the Wings because, I mean, the Wings are going to be good this year, man, and I think that they're having a really, really good opportunity to take the East. And then I think that they lose again at the end of the season, just dropping this one to Halifax in Halifax. They're coming to the end of that home or the road trip, kind of four games on the road of the five that they play. And I mean, Halifax is, it's not going to be an easy barn to go into at all this season. I think that their fan base is ready for some quality National Lacrosse League to come through. And it's going to be a tough barn to have to play in. So anytime you go there, it's going to be electric, and Toronto drops it there, but then has a nice little playoff push after that.
I think the Toronto Rock, with the experience they have, are going to be able to push through. They're going to have a 4-1 month in the month of April.
And they lose to the Wings.
They lose to the Wings.
Yeah, I mean, the Wings, I'm honestly disappointed we only played Toronto once. I kind of wish that they were in our division, but you know what happens, and the division realignment's a good thing for this league. But, I mean, I think that the Wings played Toronto better than any team in the National Lacrosse League last season. I think that they had three of the most competitive games that we probably saw all year, if I remember correctly. I mean, actually, I take that back. Calgary and Vancouver, always a great matchup last season. However, bring it back to the East Coast, the Wings in Toronto, always a one-goal game, always a tight one. The boys were chippy. They got after it. It was electric, and that's kind of what we're seeing. So, I mean, I think that the Wings have a really great opportunity to take them down here, and that would be something else.
It's going to be a fun Saturday night game at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yep.
And then I think, you know, after a loss, they're going to be motivated to get back after it on a kind of short turnaround, 3 p.m. start in New York. They'll go out and then they'll sweep the rest of the season, beating New York, beating Georgia, then going home to take down the Nighthawks, and then they'll go to Halifax, bring the boom, and they'll take that win there and ride into the playoffs as one of the top two teams in the North, because I think Toronto is making the playoffs as a top two team in the North.
I agree. I mean, I think that this Toronto Rock team is going to be just full of talent. And that's nothing against the other teams that we've previewed. I think that I just think that this Toronto team is kind of hungry. They're ready to get after it. I think that they fell a little short last year in playoff terms. And honestly, just the entire season, I don't think that it was what they wanted it to be. They grinded far too many games out there for comfortability. And I think that this season they try and put a few extra points up on the goal or on the board every game and really try and push something out.
So right now as a podcast, we have Halifax and Toronto making the playoffs from the North. We'll see if we have the final team from the North making it, the defending East Division champs, who now move to the North, obviously. The Buffalo Bandits is our final North Division preview before we head to the new-look East Division. And we'll see, because this playoff format, top two teams from each division make it, and then two wild cards.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I think that the wild card coming from the North actually might be Halifax, because I mean Buffalo obviously is going to be talented. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I think we get three teams out of the North. Yeah,
I agree.
I think that we get all three teams that we've other than Rochester that we've previewed. I think that Toronto and Halifax have a really great opportunity to push forward, and then I think Buffalo sneaks in there as well. And then I think the East, we just see two teams. I think it'll be the Wings and another team. But I don't want to spoil too much there for you guys when we get there. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited. Can I tell them who we have coming up here? Because I already announced it.
We announced a little bit, but we're going to keep it a secret still.
No,
because we like making big-time announcements on the Twitter.com, which is where you should be following us, at OTBLaxPod. You can follow us on Instagram as well, at OTBLaxPod. And if you have been, the content on Instagram has been getting a lot better recently. And I'm very excited for what's to come there. As always, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast as well. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews with your thoughts on what you think this Toronto Rock team is going to do in 2019-2020. 5 stars only. We have high standards. We know you do too. And if you don't have an iPhone, you can also follow us on Spotify, Google Play, the TuneIn app, Anchor. Follow and stream us on radio.com. That is the third platform, along with Spotify and Apple Podcasts, that we are pushing big time. Get us on those charts there. We want to be full-fledged with iHeartRadio. So anywhere you get your podcast, really, you can listen to us, but those three are the big ones. And we'll be back early next week to preview this Buffalo Bandits squad, see if they can get back to the NLL Finals, and our guest will be announced tomorrow
morning. Well, it's
already
been announced. I mean, if you go find the video.
By the time you're listening to this,
it's already been announced.
You probably already know who it is, but you'll see it tomorrow morning.
Enjoy. Go find it on our Twitter. It's like a little witch hunt.
So, as always, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you check out signaturelacrosse.com/pages/OTB for all that exclusive pricing on your lacrosse gear that you need. And thanks, as always, for listening to the show. So we will be back, like we said, Tuesday with our Buffalo Bandits preview. And this has been episode 86 of the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. For Herm, I'm Kyle. We are signing off. Peace.